So Greg made a couple of arguments for his side of the position. One was Romans 8, verse 29, for example. For whom he did foreknow, he did all... Well, let me start with 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Appreciate you making that argument, Greg. This is not talking about the predestination of any certain particular individual like Dale Smelser, but it's talking about a class of people. This is the kind of person that's going to be saved. Notice the key here is in the middle of verse 29, he did predestinate these people to be conformed to the image of his Son. So everybody, what this is basically saying is that God predestinated from the very beginning that the ones who are going to be called successfully, and I'll mention the difference there, the ones who are going to be predestinated, the ones who are going to be justified are those who conform themselves to the image of his Son. That's a class. Anybody, not one particular person, individual by name. Okay? What that really says, though, is that if we don't conform ourselves to the image of his Son, we won't be justified. Now, I mentioned about... There's two different types of calling mentioned in the New Testament, at least two. You could say on the phone, I called somebody. And you could mean two different things. You could mean I successfully called them. In other words, they answered and we had a conversation. You could say I called them and even mean what if they didn't answer? You see what I'm saying? There's an unsuccessful call and there's a successful call. This one is talking about the successful call. Okay? It's not talking about the unsuccessful calls. The successful call, all of those will be justified and saved. All of those will, because, and they are called successfully. But look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, to see there's an unsuccessful call. And that's what Greg is overlooking. Matthew 22, 14. I wish I'd already turned there in my Bible, so I wouldn't have to do this. But it says in Matthew 22, 14, and many are called, but few are chosen. Do you see the difference there? In Romans 8, all that are called are chosen and justified. That's a successful call. They answered the phone and you had the conversation. The unsuccessful call is Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. It has the successful and the unsuccessful. Many are called, but few are chosen. And that's how we know that this is talking about a class of people, Greg, in Romans chapter 8. Those that are willing to conform themselves to the image of his Son, they will be justified. That's what God predestinated, that that would occur. Now, I'm going to connect that in with the other passage that Greg mentioned, and that is John chapter 6, verse 44. We're going to see the same thing. John 6, 44. Let's turn there. Greg said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, so nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. But now look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So the question is how does God draw? Does God draw in the sense of the eye in tulip, irresistible grace, miraculous force? He forces people to become Christians? Or does he draw through the preaching of the gospel? Notice what verse 45, it explains verse 44, Greg. They all shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So what about those who come to the Father initially, they become a Christian, and then they quit learning. They give up. They turn away from God. Remember Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12? They develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. What about those? We're agreed that those who continue to learn and continue to obey, they're going to be successfully called. But what about those who could quit learning? Those who change to unbelief? Now, what I'd like to do, I've got about 5 minutes left, I guess. Greg is right, in a sense, about the BB gun. I gave him so many verses, it would be almost impossible for him to get to every one of them. So what I'm going to do is, Greg, is I'm going to ask you to get to three or four of them, three or four of these little BBs, and I'm going to tell you which one I would like you to try to get to. And at the same time, and now hold my time, Jeff, I'm going to have to switch my charts.
Would you like some grace while that's happening?
Greg actually started debating our subject we've debated before, unconditional election, so I had to go to those charts. But I'm going back to my once saved, always saved charts. And these are the three or four passages I want you to respond to, Greg, as you have time. Okay? And my friend back here says I need to deal more with the context. I'm going to try to do that at the same time. Okay? I'm going to try to deal with the context here the best I can in the time I have. All right. Jeff, start my time. Let's look. Please look at, Greg, at Galatians 5:4. Christ shall profit you nothing. Ye are severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. The context really of the whole book is these Christians, some of them, probably those who had formerly been Jews, were trying to say that Gentiles had to be justified by the law of Moses. You see that in Acts chapter 15. They had a debate about it. This is in the middle of that context. And Paul is saying basically in Acts 15 and here in the book of Galatians, we do not have to keep the law of Moses anymore. The Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. He says Christ will profit you nothing if you teach this. They were teaching Gentiles had to be circumcised. A person cannot be saved, agreed, if Christ does not profit them. He says, ye are severed from Christ. There's the context. The context shows we're talking about Christians here. If I were to cut this wire, sever this wire from this computer, that means it was connected to the computer, and then I cut it or I severed it. So the person is severed from Christ. That means he was connected to Christ. The context then is showing it had to be a Christian. But they were trying to be justified by the law, like those saying you had to be circumcised to be saved, like the Seventh-day Adventists today. It says, because of that, you are fallen from grace. You cannot fall from a tree unless you were in that tree. So the context here shows we're talking about Christians, and the context shows they fell away, they did not persevere, and it wasn't just a warning against a cursing, meaning something less than losing their salvation. This is talking about a warning against losing their salvation. Falling away from grace. You cannot be saved if Christ does not profit you. You cannot be saved if you are separated or severed from Christ. You cannot be saved if you're fallen from grace. That's the context. Next, Greg, I would like you, if you have time, look at the next BB, Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I've already mentioned that. This is talking about brethren. I've already looked at this context. Verse 1 says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So if you examine the context, and we all always to examine the context, it's talking about people that have to have become Christians, because only a Christian has been a partaker of the heavenly calling. Only a Christian would be called a holy brother. So this is talking about a saint. And it says the possibility is there that he could develop an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You wanted to know what it would take for a person to fall away. How about this? Here is a Christian, a holy brother, one who's partaken of the heavenly calling, a Christian. He develops an evil heart of unbelief and departs from the living God. That person has lost his salvation. How do I know that? John 3:36 B. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Next BB, Greg. I hope you will have time to get to the three or four I get to. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In my speech where I went over this, I labored to prove that your name is put in the book of life when you become a Christian, when you're saved. And so if the warning is against getting your name blotted out, there's a warning against losing your salvation. It has to be that way because you are in the book of life, saved. You can possibly be put out of the book of life if you don't overcome temptation. You lose your salvation. That's the context.
1 minute.
Can you think of any other way to explain that? Greg, please take a shot at it, okay? We appreciate it if you would. And then in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, God will forsake you. The New Testament teaches the same thing in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's another BB I would like Greg to deal with. It says if we seek God, he'll be found of us. But if we forsake him, he will forsake us. Now, the once saved, always saved position is that God will never forsake a Christian even if we forsake him. This verse says, no, if we forsake him, he will forsake us. We have to have been loyal to Christ at one time, God at one time, or we couldn't forsake him. If I change from being an Alabama football fan to Auburn, that means I forsake Alabama. But I can't do that unless I'm an Alabama fan to start with. So if we forsake God, he will forsake us. That's what the Bible teaches. That was four BBs, Greg.
What was the third one? I'm sorry.
Was it Revelation 3:5, perhaps?
I got that one.
Okay. Oh, you got that one? There were Galatians 5:4, Hebrews 3:12, Revelation 3:5, and 2 Chronicles 15:2. Appreciate that.